encourage you this morning to take your Bibles and turn to the end of 2 Peter, to the end of the epistle or the letter of 2 Peter, near the very end of the New Testament. And just a little bit of a heads up for the next 3 weeks before we have the transition into the resurrection season, sort of the Easter sermons. And I think this year I'm going to be in Matthew. Not a Matthew, you find it. eschatology drives his ethics. His understanding of what's coming in the end is the motivation that he puts in front of us to continue to press on in the way that we should right now. To say that another way, Peter preaches eschatological judgment, but it is not just moral ranting. Now, some of us perhaps grew up in circles, or we observed it somewhere, or we heard the caricatures of fire and brimstone preaching, which is almost kind of like, it's almost like Johnny Cash. Sooner or later, God's going to cut you down. Sooner or later, it's going to happen. It's kind of the, you know, if you're not careful, and I'm not trying to interrupt her, but it's sort of the, God's going to get you if you don't shape up, if you don't get your life right. And then very often what that becomes is if you don't live in the way that the preacher was telling people that they needed to live. Or sometimes it was check a box, make a decision, get that base covered so you won't have to worry about it anymore. And sometimes the preaching of judgment was used to try to motivate people to check that box. But it really could become just moralistic ranting. Well, that's not what Peter's doing. It's not moralistic ranting for Peter. It is an understanding of the gospel. And it is that God has made us, and yet we're fallen in sin. That's the bad news. Every thought and intent of man's heart is evil continually from his youth. Bad news. You and I are born with indwelling sin. Bad news. Again, sign up for the nursery, but it'll drive them a theological lesson. They're born with sin. Nobody has to teach them. One of my sons actually drove in and quit nursery years ago. And I was like, man, he's sin. It's there. So we're born in sin. That's the bad news. But Christ came and paid the penalty for sin to save us from it. That is the good news. But he came to save us from sin, not just hell. Let me say it another way. Let me say it again. I'll rephrase it a little bit. Christ didn't die on the cross just so you wouldn't go to hell one day. Christ died on the cross that we might be delivered from our sin. In measure now, and ultimately one day. To a degree now, its bondage and dominion are broken now. But there still remains sin, so that's why I say to a degree. We're not perfect yet. But one day we will be perfect and glorious in Christ. But what Peter says, again, look at verses 14 and 15. He doesn't say, therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, look forward to being spotless and blameless. Not what he says. Look again at verse 14. Be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless, and regard the patience of our Lord as salvation. Strive to be blameless. Strive to be without spot or blemish. And one commentator notes that Peter's using here the imagery of the Old Testament sacrifices. You didn't bring some diseased, lame lamb to be offered to the Lord. You brought the best that you had to be offered to the Lord. You brought a lamb God that you have an opportunity to repent now. Consider the patience of our Lord's salvation. And the very fact, as Peter said earlier, the very fact that Christ has not come back yet is because he's still giving time for repentance. He is still gathering the people to himself. And if he's not back yet, and you have been walking alienated from him, then this is the time to repent. Now is the day of repentance. Now is the day of salvation. To diligently strive to be spotless and blameless in peace. Keep striving to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. So one thing that we see in Peter's thinking, there is to be a difference between the Christian and the world. There must be a difference between the Christian and the world. Now that does not mean perfection, but there is a difference. Paul beloved fellow apostle in the work of the ministry. But then again, he says in verse 15 or in verse 16, as also in all of his letters, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which the untaught and unsaid distort, as they do also the rest of the scriptures to their own destruction. So he equates Paul's writings with scripture, but then he says, he says several things. First thing is, fundamentally and in principle, Paul agrees with everything that I'm saying to you, that we are to repent of sin in this world, to walk for the eternal glory of Christ. So that's the first thing. I'm not differing with Paul on anything fundamental. And if you read his letters, you're going to see exactly the same thing. Now, the second thing you notice is that I found it was very comforting the first time I read the Bible and got to Peter after I tried to read all of Paul. Not all of it is equally easy to understand. Some of the things that Paul says, Peter acknowledges, some things are harder to understand than others. Then he goes on to say this: the untaught and the unstable distort and misuse Paul's writings to their own destruction, just like they do the rest of Scripture. Whether it's Paul or anything else, there are those who will twist it. What Paul's given us is the Word of God. What God has given us through Paul. But there are those who distort and misuse grace